Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. And praise the Lord again, my brothers and sisters. My name is Pastor Steve, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so as we get into part two of a settled word, a confirmed word, a God word. So if you would, go ahead and get pencil and paper and write down any questions or comments that you might have at the end of the show, and we'll see if we can address those. So without any further ado, I will just pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this time because of your spirit, your word, and your love. Live big in me now. I decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to go into the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirits and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, we were talking last week about a peace that abides. Because Jesus made it clear to us in John chapter 15 that if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then we can ask what we will and it'll be given us. That word was given because he said in chapter 14, 27, I believe it is, that this is a peace that he gives us, not as the world gives us, but his peace is here so that it can remain. See, that's a settled word. That's a peace that abides. That's a confirmed word. And I want you to know that a word spoken has to be a word that becomes used in your life. You cannot store up biblical promises. We don't put the word of God in a promise box. Okay, I know that was a cute merchandising implement, but see, this is what we should hear. It's the word that is alive on the inside of us is the word that works. See, David said it this way in Psalms 119. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I would not sin against thee, so that I will not live contrary to your purposes, contrary to your plan, contrary to your promises. I hid the word in my heart." And then it causes me to be able to execute. That's the same thing that he told Joshua in chapter 1, verse 8. He told him, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein." He says, when you do that, you will make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. And then he said, "But be of a good courage." See, if we're not going to hide the word in our heart to be used, not hide the word in our heart so that we can feel good about ourselves. See, a lot of times we give platitudes to the word of God. No, he's asking you to live by this. He said, "The just shall live by his faith. But the unjust will die in his fears." Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders retained a good report. Now, faith is the word of God possessed until it is possessed, confessed until it is possessed. You know, I hadn't thought about that in years. That was one of the things that the pastor that I grew up under, Pastor Wayne C. Thompson, he wrote that down as a confession of faith Over and over and over, I heard that, and I put that into my heart. I put that before me so that I can function by that. Why? Because it was going to be necessary for my life to be released by that word that was on the inside. Isn't that what it says in Proverbs chapter 4? He says, listen to my word, my son. Pay attention to it. Keep it before your eyes. Don't let it just be floating. Keep it as a thing that you meditate on. Why? Because out of your heart comes the issues of life. Guard your heart. Protect it with all diligence. So here we are in the midst of a pandemic. And see, now is the time when we can see what's actually in your heart. Oh, we can find out quickly what you say you believe, but when the rubber meets the road, where are you going? I mean, that becomes a real question. If your faith does not connect with the plan, timing, and purpose of God, it's going to be idle. The book of James said, if you don't have corresponding faith, actions with your faith, it is dead. It is left alone. It is unprofitable. See, so as we are in these times where we're going to have to live by faith, do not get it confused. This is not just an attack on one political party or another. This is not an attack from one country to another. This is an attack that allows you to see what kingdom you are really in. See, if you're finding yourself functioning under fears, worries, anxieties, duress, then you haven't participated in the kingdom that brings victory. Because Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in him. Let not your heart be troubled. If you are allowing these things to develop fears that cause you not to be able to move, okay? That's one of the things that fear does, is it immobilizes you. It causes you to, the acronym that we have for fear is false expectations appearing real. So that tells me that you must be looking at the wrong things because they appear real to you. They look like that's what the next step is going to be. But see, when you put the word of God, when you put the word of God in its proper place in your heart, then it keeps you above the evil that's in the world. That was one of Jesus' prayers. Father, I pray that you keep them above the evil that is in the world. I remember when Kenneth Copeland first began to quote that scripture, he thought he was going to have to move over a bar because he said, I was going to have to be above the evil that's in the world. No, he wants to be able to strengthen you so that your place of resolve is not the same place that people in the world look at. See, if that's all you have, if you have nothing else but the reaction that you see in the earth, then you would be of all men most miserable. See, because fear has torment. Okay? It does not allow you to go. It does not allow you to go or to move freely. It has torment. It has bondage. Okay? The Hebrews chapter 2 says that if men function in fear, they will be all of their lifetimes subject to bondage. Okay? And it comes because of fear. So in this time of things happening, I want you to know that you don't have to fear. Let not your heart be troubled. If you're going to believe in God, then believe in the word that came from God. Because the word that came from God is a word that was sent. It was expressly submitted to you. It was sent to heal you and deliver you, I love the next word, from all. All means all, and that's all it means. You know, God is the one. He's the God of all. That was, we just had that lesson just a little while ago. He's the God of all. And the reason he wants you to know that he's the God of all is so that you will not be in lack. He said he would supply. Again, that word is, my God shall supply all your need. Okay? And I love that there is no there's no S on the word need. He didn't say, my God will supply all your needs. He said, my God will supply all of your need. Why? Because the only thing you need is Jesus. The only thing you need is the Word. Because with the Word, no, the way it says it says it in Romans 2. That's right. It says it in Romans chapter 11. It says in chapter 8, it says it this way. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for you all, how will he not with him freely give you all things? See, that's the God of all. He's wanting to give you all supply that you would need in the face of a coronavirus. I would like you to know and to think about the children of Israel had their deliverance right dab in the middle of pestilence. Okay? You do remember that when it was time for them to leave, God said, this is what's going to happen. There will be a death angel coming upon the earth. And if you have your house set apart, how is it set apart? By blood on the doorpost and over the top of the door. Blood. That same blood is the blood of Jesus. That blood was in the book of Exodus. That was the symbol of the blood that we put on our hearts. See? Our hearts is the place of entry and departure. Our hearts are the place of entrance and departure. If you do not believe the word in your heart, there will be no departure from the troubles that you see around you. But if you believe the word in your heart, then you will overcome whatever surroundings are facing you. See, that's what the blood will do. That blood applied to your heart. See, I've just decided I don't want anything else in my heart but the Word of God. I don't want fears and frustrations in my heart. That's one of the reasons that he asked us to forgive if you have aught against any. Why? Because you can't house unforgiveness in your heart and faith in your heart. How can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and you've got hatred, unforgiveness in your heart against your brother? God is asking us to allow our heart to be sold out, fully submitted to him. Again, when he was busy introducing himself to the children of Israel, he said, hear this, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you, children of Israel, shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. See, God is asking for all because he is all. The way you believe is the way you release life in front of you. Okay? Your heart is the place of entrance and the place of departure. Okay? If you want to come out of any frustration, financial, the thing with the pandemic, it does not matter. The word of God is exactly the same. See? Because that's what he sent to heal you and to deliver you. See? And if we would allow that to be our standard, the way that we think, the way that we function, see, then we will be in that strong tower that guarantees us safety. See, that's a peace that abides. See, I don't have to be soon moved by the things that are coming upon the earth. Because, again, Psalms 91 tells me that I'm only supposed to observe these things with my eyes. The reward of the wicked. Wicked comes from the word wicker, which very simply means twisted. Okay? That's where the wicker f- furniture gets its strength from. Because in the twisting, in the turnings, it gives its strength. Because when you sit on something that's twisted, the weight of your body cannot go straight down. It has to follow the path of the wood, and the wood is twisted. So that by in the twisting, it gets strength. It dissipates whatever is on top of it. That's why he says, let the wicked man forsake. So you have to forsake thoughts, because when your thoughts are twisted, it can't support your life. Come on, y'all. Please look at this and see this. When your thoughts are twisted, the life that God meant for you to enjoy, you will not enjoy, because twisted thoughts do not support the word of God. Oh, I hope you see that picture. See, that's why he asks us in Romans chapter 12. He said, would you please allow your minds to be transformed? What do transformed mean? It would mean no longer bent out of shape. He asks us to walk, to function in the straight and the narrow. Why? Because the strength that God wants you to have is a strength that only comes from him. It does not come through turnings. Because he, in him, there is no shadow of turning. There is no variableness. He wants you to function in the straight and the narrow. That way you don't have to go around stuff to get God's deliverance. You can go directly to that. He's always wanted us to go directly to him. And when we decided to go around, he sent Jesus to bring us back to a straight and quick resolve to everything that he wants to have in our life. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you can ask what you will, and that which you want will be given unto you. Why? Because I've straightened out your thinking through the process of the word of God, meditation in the word of God, obedience to the word of God. That's the twisting or the wickedness that we have to straighten out. Yes. If you continue to think wrong, you will do wrong. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks, if he's twisted in his thinking, you will find him in a twisted mess. But if his thinking is straightforward and aligned with God, then you will see him coming out of the mess, and he will come out quickly. Glory to God. Because the word of God is quick or alive. See? And that means that because it is quick and alive, then you get to get out of situations that are dead and stagnant. Oh, I hope you saw that. Situations around you are standing around you. That's what the word circumstances means. It means things circled around you, standing. They are dead. They are not moving. But we are the ones that serve the true and living God. See, that's why God can get you out of situations when you trust him wholly. Because the word is straight. And since it's straight, the distance, come on, y'all, just look at it. We can just look at this. The distance of a straight line is shorter than any curved line. Is that not correct? See, so God is asking us to walk straight before him. See? And as I do, then I won't have to go around all of the stuff that I've been going around. My point A to point B is straight. I have direct access to heaven. Jesus gave us this understanding. He said, if you ask in my name, that's straight, direct access. We don't have to go through the prophet to get an answer, through the priest to get an answer. What we go to the prophet for is confirmation to the answer. If I don't have the answer in my spirit, I can't get the answer in my life. You might want to write that one down. If I don't have the answer in my spirit, I cannot get the answer in my life. I'm still going to be walking around twisted, knotted up, if you would, on the inside, because I haven't come to the place where I believe God. Abraham was so convinced, come on, y'all. Abraham was so convinced that what God said he was able to perform, he said that he took Isaac up the mountain and he was willing to sacrifice him. Why? Because he had already received that God was able to raise him from the dead. It didn't matter what situation was facing him. Abraham had spent enough time watching the word of God be explained to him. How did God explain it to him? He said, Abraham, look at the stars and see if you can number the stars. Well, the way you have in front of you of looking at these stars, so shall my word be. It's just like those stars. Your seed is going to be as grand, as big, as in multitudes of the same count that you have to those stars. So all day long, when Abraham was walking, all night long, when Abraham was walking around looking at stars, he was seeing a reminder visually of the promise of God. And then God just didn't leave him walking around at night. He said, now, Abraham, I need for you to know something else. Watch this here. You see the sands on the sea? They are innumerable. He said, so shall your seed be. So in the daytime, he was walking around looking at the ground, looking at the sand, and seeing the promise of God. At nighttime, he was walking around seeing the stars and seeing the fulfillment of the promise of God in his life. That's why who against hope believed in hope. See, he was fully, the Bible says, he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. See, that was a learning experience. That's what I'm asking you to participate in. Go to the place where your heart hears the word over and over and over from this perspective and from that perspective. Because the Bible says that every word of God is proved seven times. See? So that you need to go back and rehearse the word of God from a different angle. Rehearse it from this way and rehearse it from that way until it doesn't matter which way it happens, you know it's going to happen. He has already received Isaac being raised from the dead. I mean, you've got to get that. Whatever. Okay, come on, y'all. Let's just go through this one. Even if Abraham had done the wrong thing, which taking this son's life would have been the wrong thing. But he was so convinced that God was bigger than his mistake, even though he was making an honest mistake. He was saying, okay, I'm going to sacrifice him because that's what I heard. Okay, good. I don't have a problem with that. Because God didn't let him do it. Why? Because he said, no, he's still listening to me. Even if he heard the wrong thing the wrong way, he's still listening to me. He's trying to obey me. And then he said, no, don't take your son's life. Now I know something. I know how to deal with you now. I know how my covenant is going to respond to you, seeing that you will not withhold your son, your only son, from me. Okay? And then because of that, that released the faith to bring Jesus in so that everything we needed, he can give to us through him. But he had to know that there is a connection that is so sure between you and God that it really doesn't matter what's in front of you. Like I said to people all the time, I say, Corona, COVID-19, meet Jesus the one. Yeah, you've been trying to get to me 19 different ways. Well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can just meet Jesus the one. And he has a track record of whatever and zero. And if I would allow that settled word, that confirmed word, that God word to be what moves me forward, I'm already in a place of a guaranteed victory. See? I don't have to live my life in questions. Oh, that's good. You do not have to live your life in questions, beloved. You can live your life in certainty. You can live your life in guarantee. That's, again, I'm just thinking about how he raised up Joshua. He told Joshua, he says, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Glory to God. And so that we can get that and have an understanding, something to really ground us in, as I was with Moses. So if it took a miracle for me to display my faithfulness to Moses, my faithfulness to my promise to Moses, then get ready for a miracle. Because as I was with Moses, whichever miracle it took, you saw the 10 plagues. He says, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. They needed water, and water came out of the rock. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. They needed food, and quail came and dropped down into the camp. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. If you need a miracle, not a problem with me. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. See, these are the things that we have to begin to look at over and over and over again. I have no problem with you getting information, okay? The news is going to give you whatever information they think you should have. I'd rather have good news, bless the Lord God. Because all CNN, CBS, NBC, all they can do is give me a report that takes me to the question, whose report are you going to believe? See? And the devil has always been trying to get you to believe a report that was not from God. See, there are places, landmarks. That's why God told us not to remove the old landmarks. Moses, to me, is an old landmark. Joshua, to me, is an old landmark. I'm going to walk in the path of the faith of Father Abraham. See? I'm going to walk in that same path. That was the same path Jesus walked in. I'm going to walk in the path. Follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to walk in a guaranteed path. See, I've removed all questions from my heart. I could run into a question in my head, and then I will bring my head into agreement with my heart. I will say, surely he is with me, and his deliverance is available to me. He will not forsake me. He will not fail me. The Lord is with me. Isn't that his name, Emmanuel? Which means God is not distant. God is with me. And you do remember, as it said in 2 Chronicles 20:20, that I can stand still and I will see the salvation of the Lord God with me. And in this place of standing still, I will not need to fight, for the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord who will not fail me. The Lord who will not forsake me. Only be strong and very courageous. Be courageous. See, there is a thing that I have to do, and my heart aligns with the promise of God. My heart aligns with the plan of God, because the plan of God and the promise of God are one. He doesn't have a separate plan and a separate promise. They are one. And when I treat them as one in my heart, then I get to flow in the plan of God. But when I question them in my heart, I cannot flow in the plan of God. I'm going to be stuck in a position of heart that says, God, are you going to do? Did he not tell us already in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, that his word will not return unto him void, but his word will do something that's guaranteeing my victory. It will prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. He sent it in my heart. So it's then going to prosper in my heart. Doesn't Romans chapter 5 tell us that God has shed the love of God, the Holy Ghost has shed the love of God in our heart? So that I will then be able to hope the same way that Abraham hoped. Against my understanding, I will hope because his word is alive. in this time that we're living in this situation that has come around us, we have to be the one that establishes righteousness. Righteousness is the view of a thing as it ought to be. If I see the thing as it ought to be because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, then I can stand against all of the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, I'll stand right there. I'll be dressed correctly. I'll have on the breastplate of righteousness. I'll have on the helmet of salvation. I'll have the sword of the Spirit. See, I'll utilize the shield of faith. Why? Because I recognize these are my weapons that guarantee me victory, because these are not weapons that are carnal. These are weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. These are weapons that would allow me to bring every thought into captivity until that obeys Christ. And when that thought obeys Christ, now my heart aligns with him and my victory is evident, because out of my heart comes the issues of my life. See, these are the things that God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to follow the things that are right in his eyes. Okay? Why do you think he sent a word to you if the word wasn't right? It's a good news, the gospel, isn't it? That would be a word that is right for your deliverance, a word that is right for your ability to do. Remember, your heart is the place of departure and the place that you receive. See, when you allow things to go into your heart, it also provides your departure. If you don't allow it in your heart, then you will not be able to walk out of the thing that has been concerning you. See, you know, we no longer have to wrestle with God. And even when Jacob was wrestling with God, God changed his name and said, now you will be called Isaac. Why? Because you are one that prevails with God. Okay, come on. He did not say you are one that prevailed against God. He says you are one that's fighting the same fight God wants you to fight, and God has already won for you. You are wrestling with God, in conjunction with God. I look at things differently. All right? Not just because I want to, but because it strengthens me. We already know that our arms are too short to box with God. Okay? So wrestling with him does not bring me victory. Wrestling against him, let me say it that way, does not bring me victory. But when I wrestle because he's told me this is how it's going to be, and I stop arguing in my mind, I can now prevail with God, can't I? See, because if I'm going to be a stiff-necked person, that's not the one that gets blessed. Okay? I'm supposed to resist the devil, not assist the devil. I'm supposed to assist God, work with God. He's wanting to prosper whatever I put my hands to. He's wanting to cause me to excel at that. See, that's how he gets glory through my life. Okay, I said that exactly, I heard it. That's how he gets glory through my life. He has already deposited glory in my life. Amen. We have this glory in earthen vessels. We already have the deposit of the glory. Now he wants to get the glory through my life. See, my heart is the place of departure. It's the place of entrance so that there can be a departure. Otherwise, I'm going to be found to simply frustrate the grace of God, because I'm not agreeing with him. I'm still arguing with him. And as I argue with him, then that frustrates the grace. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God? How would you frustrate? By continuing to argue with them, saying it's not for me, I don't deserve it. See, the Apostle Paul said, no, let's stop that. Let's prevail with him. Let's agree with him. See, as I walk in agreement with the word of God that has already been spoken to me, when the word is a settled word in my heart, then it is going to be a confirmed word in my life. A settled word is a word that has no other choice but to come to pass. That's what the Bible says that in Luke chapter 4, I believe it is. It says that when Jesus was there, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal. Let me just flip over there. Is it 5? See? It says that the power of the Lord was present to heal. See, but they didn't. It didn't happen. That's the same time he said he could there do no mighty works. Why? It's going to be chapter 5, verse 17. Okay? See, just watch it. Jesus withdrew himself into the wilderness, and he prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that the Pharisees and the doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. It says these Pharisees, these doctors of the law, came, and what were they doing there? They were arguing with him. This can't be. This is Mary, the son of, this is Jesus, the son of Joseph. Now, he can't do all these things. And it says, because he was there, the power of the Lord was present to heal, but he could there do no mighty works. See? Say he healed a few sick folk. Because as soon as Jesus did something, they said, you can't do this. Who are you to forgive sins? What did they do? They were arguing with the release of the power through his life to bless them. See, we do it in our own hearts and minds. We disqualify ourselves even though he qualified us. See? And we disqualify ourselves because we think we don't deserve it. We think that we are getting what we deserve by the bad in our life. Oh, beloved, please, please, please understand. You're not getting what you deserve by the bad in your life. If that would be the case, why would he send a word to heal you and deliver you from the bad? If you deserved the bad. I mean, really, this has been said over and over again. If you deserve the bad, why are you then praying to change the will of God? If you deserve the bad, all you should do then is just go ahead and take the bad, agreeing and bear it. But no, he says, if you are heavy laden, if you got any burdens, come here, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, and you'll find something that you didn't have before. You'll find rest unto your soul. Why would he give you rest if he wanted you to have the mess? I would submit to you that he didn't want you to have the mess. He wants you to find the glory that's deposited on the inside and let it be able to be released through your life. Your heart is the door of departure. Okay? So we need to start looking at things, and particularly as we are facing a coronavirus. I heard my pastor told me the other day, I didn't really think about it from this aspect, but a virus, the purpose of a virus is to, it's an organism that wants to take over the host wherein it enters into. Okay? It wants to make its DNA present inside of the host that it was not in before. When a virus comes into a computer, the virus wants to change the DNA of the computer. It no longer does the same functions that it was programmed to do. The virus takes over, and you have issues in the execution of the computer. The virus comes into our lives, and it changes the working DNA of our lives. So then we've got to say, okay, no, this is not what God intended for me. This was not his plan. And his plan is an everlasting plan. But what I have to do is allow the glory that has been deposited on the inside, the ability to be released, because it's the glory that alters. Whenever we come in contact with the glory, there is an actual change. Hallelujah. There is an automatic actual change. Anything that comes in, okay, come on, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. When he was walking through the crowds, and the lady that had the issue of blood, she said in her heart, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she did it. And as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, Jesus said, who touched me? And they said, what are you talking about, Jesus? Everybody's touching you. He said, no, someone touched me because I perceive that glory, virtue has come out of me. When you contact the glory, there is an automatic effective change. If you're going to still play church, or you're not going to connect with the glory. Okay? That's why when Phinehas and all of Eli's sons were doing evil before the Lord, and when Eli died, the wife said, Ichabod. And what does Ichabod mean? It meant the glory had departed. There was no available change for the people. They still went to church for years and years and years, and they would leave the church the same way because they did not come in contact with the glory. But when Jesus came, the Bible says about him, he was full of grace. He was the only one that had the begotten of the Father, full of grace and glory. See? He was the one that had the glory. The glory had returned. And so now he gave, departed. When he left the glory for us. He gave us the ability to partake of that glory. See, so it's already on the inside of you. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. He's not a creature without glory any longer. See, because when man was first made, he was crowned with glory. He was crowned with honor. And Ichabod happened. So that the glory departed. So now this man had to live by the sweat of his brow. Before the sin was manifest, he didn't have any reason to sweat. He lived a sweatless life. In fact, it was so awesome that God would give the man a job to do, and then God would make sure that everything the man needed to bring the job to pass, he gave it to him. Adam, name all the animals. And then God brought him the animals. Glory to God. That's what glory will do. Glory will hear and then be able to respond in glory. Okay? When God speaks from glory, you hear glory speaking, and glory brought the ability to change. He didn't just bring you a beloved. He did not just bring you a goosebump. Amen. He brought you the power to effect change. Who touched me? I perceive virtue has gone out of me. See, this is what he's wanting us to release in the earth now. It's needed now. It's needed for you in your life, and it's needed for others so that they can come into the glory that has been deposited in the earth. God's looking for the whole earth groans and travails for one thing, for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is looking for that glory. The earth, okay, just look at it. Come on, go back in your Bible and look at it. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The whole earth knows that it was created to make sure the man has everything that he needs. And then when the sin entered into the situation, the glory could not be reached by the man. He had to get life from sweat, from toil. But before, glory was meeting the need, was making things happen. Okay? So then if we want to be able to enjoy life in this dispensation, we're going to have to come back in contact with the glory. And it's the good thing about the glory does not fail. The glory alters. The glory changes. It doesn't fail. See, because the word that was sent to you prospers in you. See, it becomes the answer to whatever is facing you. And then you get to release that glory through your life. Beloved, that's what we're supposed to be doing, in particularly now. We're the ones that have been given authority to use the name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby they must be saved. That at the name of Jesus, every, not some, every knee. To me, that takes care of COVID-19. He said every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, and by that confession, give glory to God. See? So even though the plan of the virus, if you will, the plan of the enemy through the virus was to cause life to stop. No. We have the ability to turn that thing around. See, God's power can go all the way. That's why he had Lazarus to come out of the grave. It was to show them that it doesn't matter how bad it looks. My power works. Oh, Lord, by now he's speaking. He's been dead 4 days. He's saying, no, to tell you what, just get the stone out the way. Remove the barriers in your thinking. Remove the barriers in your sight line. Remove the stone. Get it out your way. It was not in his way, because if he would have said, come forth, he could have brought him forth through the rocks. Do you remember when Jesus was resurrected from the dead that he came through the wall? They were in the place gathered, and Jesus joined them inside the place that they were gathering, and he didn't go through the door. See, so the rock would have not been an issue. Come on, y'all. Just thinking about things when you see them, that you run over them. You remember when Peter was in jail? And the angel of the Lord came, and they started leaving the jail. They went from the second ward to the first ward. And then it says when they got to the gate of the city, that the gate opened of its own accord. Do you think that rock would have been a problem? The rock would have just said, move over, but he told us specifically, remove the barrier between you and my power. You remove it. This is what you think is keeping his life from being seen, so remove that. And then when they removed it, Lazarus came forth. And he said, okay, now loose him and let him go. Again, if Jesus had wanted to take all of the grave cloths off from the beach, he would have did that, but he wants us to participate in understanding that the power of God knows no limits. He can deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints. He's trying to get us into that place. And we're going to need to get there, because that's how the world is going to know that there is a God in the earth today. See? We're going to have to begin to walk. Didn't he tell us that we would do greater works? I mean, it's a good thing to just do the same works, but he said, no, I've called you to greater works. To me, a greater work would be walking into the hospital and clean out a whole wing. That would be a greater work. Jesus went one by one, person to person, but we can do a greater work. Because he lives inside of us, the glory is inside of us, and if we would learn to submit ourselves to the glory on the inside, we would then be able to release the glory through our lives. Okay? So then if he knows how to deliver by many and by few, and he does, then we would be able to see the many, wouldn't we? Amen. Instead of us just remembering, okay, well, wow, I'm going to say it like I hear it. We are still remembering the few. Instead of delivering by the many. His power knows no limits and no restraints. And that power is resident on the inside of you. That glory is resident on the inside of you. Why do we just simply remember the few when we can be delivering the many? Glory to God. See? We've got to begin to appropriate promises in our now season. We get the opportunity to see the glory of God as never before seen. We get to participate in that. I mean, come on, just and again, thinking about it, going back through the historical account, Peter was walking down the street, going to get bread, if you would. He was not trying to go to church to have a healing service. He was walking from point A to point B. And then as he was walking, people that came in contact with his shadow, oh, glory to God. People that came in contact with his shadow got healed. I mean, do you see that? How impactful that is. See? And he wants us to walk in that same power, in that same anointing. Why? Because it causes people to then know that there is a God in the earth today. Okay? And as we see that, as we understand that, then we would be able to turn the situations around, that people would then begin to learn to seek God. They would begin to pray in earnest instead of praying when they get in trouble. They would pray just because it is now the norm of my day to pray. You got to remember the children of Israel, they were praying minimally three times a day in the midst of troubles. That's what got Daniel in trouble. Because he was going to do what was required of his heart's position. This was not just the law. Okay, please know that. It was not just the law that caused him to do that. It was a heart position. Because the king told him, he said, look, this is what's going to happen. If y'all don't, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, same thing. If y'all don't bow down, it's going to be over. And he said, well, know this, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, no. We're still not going to bow down. That's a position of heart. That was not commitment to a law. You see what I'm saying? And we have the ability to be connected to God through that dispensation. So then when we walk down the street, we release healings and deliverance. See? That's what he's asking us to do. That's what he's warning. But we say, that those days are gone. Well, as you do that, all you can do is remember what happened. You're going to remember the few, not walk in the victory of the multitude that God has available for you. See? So we got to get some things in our heart that allows us to release glory. Release the victory. It's not for us. It's for the ones that God died for. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So then if he wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth, and we haven't released that truth, we've been holding on to that truth. We've been in our own rooms, just like the children of Israel. Come on now. After Jesus died, they thought they was next. So they was holed up in the houses, taking their light and hiding it. Jesus said that the light's not supposed to be hid, isn't it? He says the light's supposed to be, it's supposed to be on the hill. It's supposed to be on the hill so that everybody can see it. But I don't think that most of us are displaying the glory that's deposited on the inside of us. We're kind of hoping that things going to work out and make us feel a little bit better about this, that, or the other. See? But it should be that we are displaying the glory because we are assured of the one who's on the inside of us. We are assured of that. See? So, you know, this is a wake-up call, if you would. See, this is when a word is settled, then a word will be confirmed. God is wanting to confirm. That's what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. It says, and the Lord was with them, confirming his word with signs following. See, unfortunately for us, we have wanted to follow the signs. We know everything's good when this, that, or the other happens. No, we should be knowing that God is wanting to work with us and confirm his word with signs following. Okay? I mean, did you remember that? Turn over there, y'all. Let's show you that. Mark chapter 16. He wants to allow us, body of Christ. All right. Then he told him in verse 15 and following, go into all the world and proclaim, preach, display the gospel. Okay. He didn't just tell him to go and talk about the gospel. Preaching is done with our life just as much as it is with our mouth. Amen. Paul said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show demonstration of the spirit and power. I'm not going to do it in word only. I'm going to release the spirit, the demonstration of the spirit and power. Go preach. Go display to every creature. And he that believes and is saved shall be well. I hadn't thought about that, Lord. Okay, come on. I hadn't looked at this. I hadn't looked at how much information was geared toward what people could see, not just geared toward what they can hear. Listen to what he said. Go and proclaim, display the gospel, okay? And the ones that believe what you display and is baptized because of what you display, they'll be saved. But the ones that don't believe because of what you display shall be damned. And these signs, he didn't say, and these words. Come on, y'all. I never seen that till just now. He wasn't just talking about words. I appreciate words. But Paul said it's got to be bigger than words. It's got to be better than words. Alluring words. It's going to have to be a display. And these signs are going to follow them that believe. That in my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, I don't know what y'all talking about. Help me out, Corona 19. Any deadly thing shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they did something. They went forth and displayed everywhere. They went forth and lived like a Christian. No, not just doing right things. They went about they went about doing good things. Wow, that's a powerful statement. Don't you remember it says in Acts 10:38 that how God was with Jesus and he anointed him and he went about doing good. It didn't say and he went about doing good things. He didn't say he went about doing right things. He went about doing good. And they left there and they went forth and preached or displayed everywhere. And it says, and the Lord was working with them. How did you know he was working with them? Because their words were just so good. Because their songs were so on time. It says, no, the Lord was working with them with signs following. Glory to God. I promise you, I hadn't seen how much was connected to signs or demonstration. We always thought it was so connected with the preaching. The preaching is the demonstration of power, not the talking about power. And in the society that we live in, we need some evidence. Yeah, come on, Fred Price. Does your life have enough evidence? What does your life say? We say we believe God, but now we're believing God without the release of power. It's hard to say. The book of James says, you say you believe, I'm going to show you my faith by my works. Not by the lack of sin, but by the good things that I do. Is it a good thing to release healing? Well, then let's get some healing released. Glory to God. Is it a good thing to provide protection from a Corona 19? Yes, yeah, a good thing. So let's do that. Let's let them know that every place that we pray for is a place that the enemy cannot cross. Let's get to that place. But I don't know if I have the faith. Yeah, he gave you the faith for that. The challenge is we have not understood it, A, and then displayed it, B. If God said his word will not return void, then I need to stir the word up in me so that when I release it, I don't have to worry about it coming back void. I want the same anointing that Samuel had. And it says, the Bible says that God did not let the words that Samuel spoke fall to the ground. Because his heart was in a different place. See, he believed that he was called, so then the things that God wanted to get done, they were going to be supernatural things. So then he didn't worry about Sam, because God is the one that's going to do it. The Lord was working with them, confirming the word with signs following. See, we are in a great position, beloved. We're in a great position now. The world... Okay. I could preach. The world is needing to see what we possess. They don't need to see. They don't need to see what we just talk about. They need to see what we possess. Because if I don't have any corresponding actions, I don't possess it. I still have mental ascension. And it's time to get past mental ascension. We're going to have to start releasing the power of God into the earth, because that's going to be the thing that turns everything around. They're not going to come, beloved, they're not going to come because we have good words and good songs. In fact, it never said there that the Lord worked with their good words and their good signs, good songs. It didn't say that. I'm sorry, it just didn't say that. He worked with them, confirming, giving evidence that what they were talking about is in their life. That's why when Peter was walking down the street, people got healed from whatever disease they might have had. See? And that was just his shadow, y'all. He ain't laid hands on them. That was just his shadow. Amen. That means that we have that ability to release the glory in a magnitude greater than whatever we're facing. Otherwise, we're going to just rewrite the Bible. We're just going to say, average is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He didn't say that. He said, greater is he that is in you. So then if greater is on the inside of me, I need to go release some greater. Those people that are in need need greater. They don't need what they already know. They need greater. And once we come to the place where we understand we were born for this hour, we were born for this challenge, and we're not going to back down from it. We're going to begin to go to God and hear the direction that he has for us, hear the plan that he wants us to execute. They that know their God will be strong, and they will do exploits. We're supposed to have witness that we're called by the name of the Lord. So in this hour, I don't want your heart to be troubled. I don't want you to be fearful. Go and allow God to build you up. I commend you, brethren, to God and to the word of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. And that inheritance, according to Psalms 2, he said he's given us the heathen for our inheritance. The ones that don't know how to believe, not only don't believe, they don't know how to believe. They don't know what to believe in because they've heard so much about the thing that Jesus used to do, but they don't know what Jesus is doing. They don't know the Jesus that is alive in the earth, that's alive in you today. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. and we praise you that you have caused us to be in this place, in this time, so that you can release glory through our lives, so that you can cause that which has already been imparted to be released and bless those, Father. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so we thank you that we will display that truth so that they would come, that they will see the invitation of Jesus calling them out of darkness and into light, out of weakness and into power. Thank you, Father, that we, your body, will start displaying that, that we would preach by a life, not just by our words. We commit that to you, sir. It's done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, amen. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic for questions or commentary. So, area code 404-345-0963, you have the mic. Area code 404-345, you have the mic. Any comments, questions about tonight's ministry? Amen. Well, again, we're glad to have you on the call. I'll go to area code 678. 373-9688. You have the mic.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Praise
go ahead.
God. That awesome. That the ministry was awesome, Brother Steve. I praise God for you. It was a word in season and much needed. Amen. I have no questions. Everything is crystal clear. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Again, amen. Thank you for being on the call. Amen. All right. Area code 404-906-5596. You have the mic. Go ahead. Area code 404-906-5596. You have the mic. Any questions or comments on the ministry for the night? Again, we just thank you for being on the call. So I'm going to go to area code 44295-5820. You have the mic. Any questions or comments for the ministry tonight? Amen. Amen. And again, I do say it often, you know, we're glad that you took the time to participate, and some impartation from God was able to be given. That's what we're here for. Area code 770-719-9104. You have the mic. Any comments or questions from today's ministry? Amen. Yeah, I'm not going to keep on doing this. I'm just going to go ahead and thank everyone for participating and giving us the opportunity to share into your life. Again, if the Lord lays it on your heart to sow a seed here at livedeliverance.com, please be obedient, because we stay on the air through your obedience of tithes, gifts, and offerings. We have members that are on, and some of them will be listening at a later time, because every one of the teachings is online. You can go to the website, and you can see that and hear that over and over and over again. Share that with people, because people are going through things, and sometimes they're going through the things without the answers needed to bring victory in the thing. So we want you to be fully equipped. We want you to be a light that's shining in a dark hour, because this is the time that you were born for, not to back away from. Okay? We are those that are supposed to let our light so shine, not go and hide our light. And again, I'm not telling you tomorrow go out there and do everything you think you know. You let your heart become strengthened in the word. This is what we're talking about. A settled word will be then a confirmed word. If the word is not settled, don't try to make it operate in your life. go back and rehearse it over and over. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that you may observe, see how to do. Didn't say hear and then go do. God is not looking for parents. Amen. He's looking for priests, peculiar people. All right? He's looking for people that have put themselves in a position where they consistently hear from God so that the word that is settled now can be confirmed, and it will be then a God word, a word that is alive, a word that is active, a word that has been sent. If it's not settled, it will not be confirmed. It's not a God word yet. So I just want you to know that's what we're going to be practicing, rehearsing over and over from this time till we see him face to face. Amen. So again, until the next time that we are together, I wish you God's peace, God's speed, God's love, and God's strength. Shalom.